Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change and you can change, everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
Good morning. It is Wednesday. Happy hump day, everybody. Hump day. What a day it was yesterday.
It's pausing.
What? What?
Okay, all the guys out there.
What are you pausing for?
Men and women.
Okay.
No, it's
guys, gals.
Okay, we're married. You're kids. Not, Crawford. So
hello, children.
You're an idiot. So here's what happens in my house sometimes. Sometimes you make decisions and you get in trouble for those decisions because you weren't specific about how the decision should be made. And when color schemes and minds and things are purchased and then all of a sudden they're not properly done, it's always your fault. So I want to know.
Oh, boy.
No, I just, okay.
This is a big one.
It's not a big one. No, it's color scheme. There's always things of what's the proper way? Here I am at 42 years old. I've been married for 16 years.
There you go.
Okay. I still can't figure out what is the proper way to initiate a purchase with your wife so that she's happy all the time. When it comes to anything that's decora, I need help.
You just let her do it.
I did. And I still did it wrong.
How did you?
I still did it wrong. So we got some stools. Some kitchen stools.
See, in what way?
And they're the wrong shade of gray because I didn't allow the proper amount of time to do that. So I wonder, and I actually like them. I think they're great. They're great. It's more functional. Guys, we don't care about decora. We care about functionality.
That's the whole issue there, is that you had a say in some way, shape, or form.
All I did was purchase. That's it. I said, what do you guys want?
That's your problem.
2 months, Dusty. Two months to find some stools.
Well, then that's okay.
Two months? Two months?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love my wife to death, but I am still, even at 16 years, at 42, I'm still baffled. Still baffled.
Well.
On what is the proper way.
See, need to step away completely and just say.
When I went to sit on a stool, it broke. Like, I could not sit on a stool because they were so broken. Well, but with 2 months.
Okay. So, yeah. And so to answer your question.
Is there a proper procedure?
Yeah, it is. You failed in ordering them. But you just say, hey, whatever you want, go get it.
Because I did. But now that they're here, they're the wrong shade.
Well, that's not your fault then. That's not your fault.
Yes, it was told it was my fault. It was my fault because I didn't give the proper amount of time to be able to make sure the color scheme
was correctly. Was your fault to pressure this situation and this decision.
All right.
If it's going to take her 6 months, then whatever. Just go and eat on the couch. You know? I'm with you.
I know.
It may not be easy to hear or nice to hear. It's what it is.
It is. And here's my other one, too. Everybody out buying Christmas trees right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. Christmas trees are fantastic.
Ooh, Christmas tree shortage.
Real or fake? Real. Question mark for everybody.
Real.
I know you say real.
Yeah.
And I go, okay. So I'm in a tug of war also. Real or fake? What's the most fine? These trees are
real.
You regular tree, it could be $100.
Going to the wrong place.
My hands are up.
Come on out to the borough, man.
Where's the U-cut? I want the nice U-cut, the experience. Yeah. I want the Clark Griswold. I want to dig it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the Pacific Northwest.
We don't go to
$100 trees.
We don't go to the fancy place. We go to a place where they got a sign and it's written on, and it is, they just have prices. The most expensive tree on the lot is $30, and it doesn't matter what size they are. You could get, I think it's a Grand Noble, maybe, is the $30.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter if it's a foot tall or 30 feet tall. If you get a Grand Noble, you cut that bad boy down, you're paying $30.
Kind of like shoes.
So, yeah.
If I want to buy a pair of Jordans that are size fives, $100.
$100. 15.
Size 21s, Shaq size.
$100.
$100.
Yeah. And that's basically the Christmas tree at the farm that we go to. So we know going in, $20 is all we're paying for our tree because we don't get the expensive kind. And we just, boom, $20, you're getting your tree.
But are you against the fake side? So because it's like, all right.
Yeah.
Are you against that side? Because it's fire retardant.
Yeah. No, I don't care about that.
Oh, you don't care about your house? Okay. No. Seems a little safety issue.
Don't care about it.
It can be pre-lit sometimes. You don't have to string lights on.
I think that's part of the fun.
I do. You need to come to my house. You can use it over and over again. And if you spend exorbitant amounts of money on Christmas trees, it then turns into, in 5 years, I could spend $500 on a tree. Trees.
No. See? Not me. Okay. Because you're going to the wrong places here. You're going to the wrong places. And
yeah, easy, RJ. See, now RJ is saying if you're a real man born and raised Pacific Northwest, you have to have a real tree.
See, I agree.
Okay.
I agree. We have a luxury being here. Like Crawford is from Newport Beach, where they don't have Christmas trees.
There's still lots. My Christmas tree experience was spent in parking lots, not the forest or wherever you guys go.
And that's one of the cool things about
Christmas living
up here.
Tree lot is not a forest.
That's called a parking lot.
where you guys go though?
They have lots here too, and
the tree farms.
Tree farms.
Yeah, forests.
It's not a forest. It's a
farm. I want one of those aluminum trees, the silver ones that you know what I'm talking about, the old school,
the 1960s.
I want one of those.
My mom had a little one.
Those are cool.
So, plus, when you get the real tree, part of the fun for the kids is killing all the spiders. Right?
I already got yelled at by my wife.
That's fine.
She already text yelled at me.
Hey.
With exclamation points.
Mindy, I'm with you on this.
Of course you are.
Because he just, as it says here on the text line, stay in your lane.
See, I did. All I ordered and I put them together.
Stay in your lane.
And I'm still in fault.
I'd like a video of you breaking a stool.
Yeah. The other stools were 9 years old.
I'm sure that was a calm reaction.
And you would sit on him and you'd move and you could feel it going, and then I'm not a light individual.
You got to have a little give.
Mm.
It's terrifying.
All right.
So
let's do this thing.
Stools.
I'm sorry for your, now you're in double trouble.
I am in double trouble.
You got in double trouble because you talked about it.
No, I just wanted to know everyone else did deal with that too. Is it a guy thing?
No. We're
married thing.
We're in this together, man. You and me.
So I'm not allowed to make any
everybody,
choices ever.
That is true.
I could choose the lawnmower, dang it.
You're damn right you can.
Choose that damn lawnmower.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this day in sports history, 1992, Jerry Rice catches his NFL record 101st touchdown reception. That is amazing. Do you know who Jerry Rice passed? In 1992.
I should know this.
This is going to bother
Steve Largent.
You. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it only took me a second. Hold on.
Steve Largent was a career leader with 100 career. Jerry Rice, still the leader with 197.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald only needs to play like 20 more years to catch him. He has 109.
I feel that
tells you
streak,
how great Jerry Rice is.
No, I feel that streak's as safe as probably the 56-game hitting streak of DiMaggio.
Do you know who the active leader is, though, in touchdown receptions? Because it is not Larry Fitzgerald.
Active
players leading career touchdowns with 112.
Ooh, that's a good trivia. Give me a hint.
Tight end.
Oh, it's Jason Witten.
Nope. Antonio Gates.
Oh, Antonio Gates. That would be my next pick. Antonio Gates.
You're fired.
Today.
It's always the next guess, you know?
Yes.
It always is. All right, today we got a lot of Willie Taggart in University of Oregon job. Not just Willie Taggart, but the University of Oregon and its football opening. We'll get your initial reaction. We want to know who you think the Ducks should go after. That's our textual relations at 55305. Who do the Ducks target as their next head coach? Does Rob Mullins have any culpability in this? How much of the staff should they keep? We'll have Andrew Nemec on at 7:30, our recruiting insider, to discuss what's going to happen with the Ducks recruiting class, plus the headway that Jonathan Smith is making on the recruiting trail as the Beavers head football coach as they host a recruiting weekend this weekend. We will talk the Blazers WTF Wednesday at 8 a.m. A lot of Duck fans asking WTF. And then we'll talk about the suspensions in the NFL. Two more handed down yesterday. And of all people, Brent Musburger has a hot take
on this.
Yes,
he does. And it rhymes with...
You've done this before and it hasn't gone over very well.
It rhymes with slow snakes.
He called people snowflakes.
Blow cake.
Yes, yes. Brent Musburger blow caking.
Yeah.
Time to wake up.
Steph Curry's out 2 weeks with an ankle sprain. Whoa. That was significant.
It is.
They're saying not just out 2 weeks, but out at least...
That's still Christmas.
2 weeks. Yeah. Ish. They're hoping him back for Christmas Day, if you go back to when he injured it, because he injured it on Monday night. They're hoping to have him by Christmas. Well, I guess that'd be 3 weeks, huh? But still, that's a tough injury for the Golden State Warriors. I think I have the sneaking suspicion Golden State's going to be all right. They're going to be okay.
Yeah, they have plenty of depth.
I think Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson may be able to carry them past Charlotte, Detroit, Portland, Dallas, the Lakers twice, Memphis, and Denver. I think they're going to be okay.
They'll be okay. Although, if Kevin Durant can't keep it together, I don't know what.
Toughest game in there is Detroit.
He's a head case right now.
Durant?
Yeah.
It's Kevin Durant, man.
He just kicked out of two games.
Well, that's because he doesn't have a burner account to get his aggression out anymore.
He's trying to be a tough guy.
He needs that burner account to get after people on Twitter. Doesn't have it anymore.
Hey, wake up. I said wake up.
All right. Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier remains in the University of Cincinnati Medical Center to be evaluated for a spinal injury suffered on Monday night. In a joint statement with the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, UC doctors say that he continues to progress and they hope to transfer him within the next 24 to 48 hours. That's really all
that's
the updates
news.
that they're giving.
Yeah.
Shazier took to Twitter yesterday and he said, "You know, I just want to thank everybody for all the thoughts and prayers. Your support is uplifting me and my family."
We've heard a diagnosis of a spinal concussion.
Contusion,
concussion of sorts. I've heard both. This is similar to what Tommy Maddox had from the Steelers.
Oh, really?
Former quarterback, Tommy Maddox.
Wow.
Yeah. Spinal contusion.
I do not
concussion.
Remember that. I remember Tommy Maddox played in the XFL.
He did play with our own.
Josh Wilcox.
I almost said something else.
Our own?
Our own Joshua.
Our own Joshua.
Wilcoxian.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say something else.
Oh. Yeah, Tommy Maddox.
There's a lot of words. We got an email the other day of all the words we cannot say. One of my favorite words, I can't say anymore.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, we did get that email.
It rhymes with hoosh wag.
Oh, yeah.
We can't say that anymore, so I need to say something different.
Yeah. Well, you can say hoosh. Hoosh wag then.
Hoosh. What can't we say?
Well, you need to read that email.
Need to read the email,
I did
Crawford.
Not read
did you
that
get
email.
The emails of words we can't say anymore?
Yeah, I didn't read it.
He really doesn't care.
Too late.
Obviously, you don't care.
600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Wake the f*** up!
Portland Trail Blazers got lit up by the Wizards last night. 106-92, the loss to Washington. Bradley Beal dropping 51 in the win. That is the most points scored by a visiting player in Blazers history.
Ever.
Yes.
Ever.
It eclipses Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 49. Wow.
Whoa.
Did we go that far back, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yes, 49 points by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
What year was that? I'm going to guess 89. No. 84.
I don't know, man.
It doesn't matter. Hold Either on. Way, that's a long time. Hey, here's a theory. Get a hand up, maybe double-team the guy, because at the end of the game, guess what Bradley Beal said? I've been being double-teamed.
Yeah, but John
Wall. Nobody
out.
Double teamed.
Everybody's been double teaming me.
Nobody double teamed me.
I am our team's only offense that we have.
So
if you look at the starting lineup for Washington, it goes 8 points, 2 points, 4 points, 7 points, 51.
Get a hand up. Deny the man the basketball. Something.
You are off by quite a bit.
Oh, 81.
72.
Holy crap.
Lou Hudson back in 1970, the Blazers' first year, also dropped 49. But now those two records are gone. It is 51 points.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Charles Barkley in 1995.
Ooh, on the Rockets? 95 Rockets?
That
would have been maybe the Suns. No, I think that was the Rockets he was on at that time.
I don't know. But he had 48 points. 47, excuse me. So, historic night for the Blazers. Meanwhile, Portland shot 41% from the field and turned the ball over 18 times.
Jeez.
So, Blazers lose and stink it up for a third straight game.
You have to burn those uniforms.
Yeah, I see. I said that yesterday.
I think so. Like, we burn them.
And you scoffed at that.
I know.
I read the cussing email.
You did.
I know now.
Good.
Yeah, I thought you could say some of those words.
So did I.
Now you know. Knowledge is power.
Now you know.
All right. Initial reaction. Willie Taggart leaves Oregon. What's this mean for the Ducks program moving forward? What does it mean about Willie Taggart? Dustin Kam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
I was disappointed. You know, we sat down a year ago, and, you know, we made a commitment to him. He made a commitment to us. We've done everything to support our commitment to get here today, and I'm disappointed.
Rob Mullins, athletic director of the University of Oregon, he said it, and Duck fans are feeling it, that disappointment. Initial reactions, Willie Taggart takes the Florida State job yesterday, about what? Just before one, it was about 1:30-ish.
Yeah,
it all kind of broke, and Willie Taggart decided he was gonna pack up, head to Florida State, go home. That was something that all Duck fans were bracing for, and it's something that we said yesterday. You know, yeah, that was the day we were gonna find out, and both of us said no, we don't think he's gonna be the coach at Oregon come Wednesday morning, and it turns out he wasn't. What was your initial gut reaction when you found out the news Willie Taggart's
not gone? Surprised.
Yeah.
And my initial gut reaction is I wanted to go right into the uniqueness of how this happened and why this happened and what we've seen in college football. My first thing is any of us out there listening or anybody that's ever been in a job situation that's created leverage, sometimes there's unique opportunities where you see, man, it is a true supply and demand issue based upon fear and based upon panic. Well, all of these things happened, and it was the perfect storm of how this happened for Willie Taggart and a couple other programs too.
Yeah.
The dominoes that fell all happened at once, and when this opportunity is right in front of you, you could sit there and tell me, not the greatest coach. His record's 7-5. I mean, a bowl record. I mean, this is going to be the first time that a guy has never coached in a bowl in three straight years being the leader of a team. That's incredible to me. Three state teams. He's not going to coach a bowl at Western Kentucky. He didn't coach it at UCF, at Central Florida. Now he's going to leave before he coaches a bowl again at Oregon. Those things are bizarre to me, but I will say this. I don't hate on Willie Taggart for what he's done because he's benefiting himself and in college football now. But I think it's disappointing for Oregon. It's frustrating. And here's the other thing I'm going to tell you out there, fans and people of this. Be upset. Be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And you have every right to be. I'm not going to tell you not to be angry. But think about this, too, is that I said things happen for a reason. This is a good thing to get the person out of here that didn't want to be here.
And this is a perfect storm. And I don't think that it is an indictment on the University of Oregon football program. Nor do I think it's an indictment on Willie Taggart, because we all have a dream job. Nobody predicted that Florida State would open 1 year after Willie Taggart got here, because there was no reason for Jimbo Fisher to leave Florida State.
Certainly.
It turned out there was 75 million reasons for Jimbo Fisher to leave Florida State University.
30 and million for Willie.
Yeah, and that's something that you can't predict and you can't forecast. Now, could Oregon have forecasted it by having a buyout? It's a little bit steeper, maybe. That's something that we're gonna get into later. But as far as the initial reaction goes, no, I wasn't surprised. The one thing that I was surprised about was the fact that you heard, you know, Brady Breeze was stopped and he talked to, I believe it was KZEZI down in Eugene, out in front of the Hatfield Dowling complex. And he is like, you know, we didn't know anything that was going on. And as like time is going and more time passes since the initial announcement, players were told that, no, this is all just rumors. It's nothing. You know, they deflected within those own, within the buildings, and recruits got the same message that, you know, it wasn't, hey, you know, with Scott Frost, there was this known at Central Florida. Nebraska's come and calling. He didn't say anything publicly, but behind closed doors, just the guys knew that Scott Frost was the target and in the eye of Nebraska. Here it was just, no, it's just kind of media driven and that's it. And the players were having to keep up with it on Twitter just like everybody else was.
Yeah.
That was a little bit surprising to me because you always hear that there, yeah, we knew the rumblings were there. But you know, it is what it is. This thing happened so quickly that the players seem stunned by it, and they seem surprised by it.
Well, they should be because it was only 1 year. This, to me, is so much different than what the Scott Frost situation is. Everybody understands that when you have success at a lower-level school, you are a stepping-stone school. You're going to get – and the connection between Scott Frost and Nebraska, it goes without saying. That is probably – the best job in the world for Scott Frost and Scott Frost only. There's no other coach out there that has the connection to Tom Osborne and that university and national championship as the leader and the quarterback. It fits perfectly. This scenario to me smells like Lane Kiffin in Tennessee. You brought in somebody that was supposed to elevate your school, bring recruiting, was a guy that could bring a lot of moxie, offense, and arrogance to the university, which he did. And Willie Taggart was good. He was good at his quotes. He was good at his sayings. He was good at all those things, those quick little tidbits, the way his smile was engaging, the way he brought in a number one recruiting class, and everybody got on board. And you should have gone on board because no way could you have predicted this to happen. And it did.
Yep. Yeah, it did.
It certainly did. And name one and dones and coaches where you sit there and you go, oh my gosh. There's no way we could have fixed this. There's nothing we could have done better. I'm not going to – we'll scrutinize Mullins for this later a little bit, but at this point in time, as players, and who knew what it was going to be like sitting in that meeting when Willie Taggart announced to those players and how that reaction was going to go. The players don't need to know. They never were going to know.
No. This text comes in on the Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. If your wife leaves you for a better looking guy, you don't congratulate her on the upgrade. You hope she ends up fat, broke, and miserable. Taggart – handled the exit terribly, and I'll be rooting against Florida State. That comes from RJ. This one says, Willie Taggart is about his brand, the do something, have a good day if you want to stuff was all about him. The whole season was about building his brand so he could take the first train to greener pastures.
I don't know about the first train, but a really big train.
Yeah.
There's no other job. I kind of believe this. There's no other job in the country that other than – What other job can you say that was so connected to one person in the country?
Well, Nebraska and Scott Frost.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, and that is it. I mean, this is the reports are he turned down two major jobs, and one of them is rumored to be Florida.
Yeah.
Okay? Which is in his home state, all of the reasons, all of the things that people are pointing to, except for Willie Taggart wasn't a Florida fan. Willie Taggart was a Florida State fan growing Seminole. Up. And that is kind of what that draw is. And so I don't think it was the first train. It was
the biggest
and nice, pretty nice,
pretty nice train.
And he took it right out of here. P1 Dustin says, as a Beaver fan, I can say, hey, at least we had a head coach. So there's that. This guy says, you guys know I'm a true Beaver believer, lifelong bleeding orange and black. I never try to talk negatively about U of O unless it's about the fans. I've competed in college there, and I greatly respect the tradition U of O has. Mm-hmm. But I heard so many idiot Duck fans saying, oh, OSU is a stepping stone job, blah, blah, blah. Well, I guess you spoiled University of Nike fans. Two of the last three coaches have left you for something better. Go Beavs. Go. How about that? And Beaver
shots
fans
across the
do,
bow.
They do feel kind of.
Yeah, they feel jilted.
Yeah.
And frustrated, and this is. you're not going to take the competition side out of the schools here and understand there's different fan bases and the passion between that.
Yeah.
I love the passion. And remember, I'll die on this vine and say care more. Well, Duck fans, you're going to care more and go after this. And I think Rob Mullins and Phil Knight and everybody understands, and we'll discuss this later in the show about where to go, but be passionate and care about this right now.
Mm-hmm.
But believe this happened for a reason. Truly, in your heart, it did.
Yeah. This text says, the worst part about the scenario is that we never got the best part of Taggart. The whole year is a wash. His ability to recruit and strength was just, we were just teased. Good news. I can't stop pretending do something is a good tagline.
Well, in the moment, remember, football is an in-the-moment sport. It is a 1 week to the next sport. It is one play to the next play. And the games, every game is scrutinized to the utmost degree. So I believe that in the moment when Willie Taggart was coaching and saying those things, that's who he is, guys. Everyone wants to jump on this thing is that he's lied and he did all these things. No, this is what college football does.
Yeah. This is that, but that's a good point about Willie Taggart, is that you can say Duck fans, that's the worst part of the scenario, is that the whole year's a wash. When's has Willie Taggart ever gotten to reap the benefits of his work as a coach? Because at Western Kentucky, he left before they popped.
Mm-hmm.
At South Florida, he left before they popped. And at Oregon, he left after 1 year before they popped, you know? And that is, like, you think about that and you go, what? That's got to be the only thing that Willie Taggart's benefited on every step of the way is his pocketbook. And maybe that's where it lies with him. But
initial reaction for you for that kind of money, just take the connection to out. We've discussed the passion between what I would do for a lot of money compared to us. We all have different feelings. Mm-hmm. $30 million gets thrown in your lap to coach. What do you do?
Well, you go back and you see if Oregon will give you 40 or $35 million. You know, I mean, and that's the thing, is that apparently that was the thing with Willie Taggart, is he came back to Oregon and was like, all right, Florida State lowballed me. Now they gave me the money I want. 5 years, 6 million, or 30.
5 years, or 6 years, 30 million.
6 years, 30 million. Gave me $5 million a pop. Am I going to get that kind of cake to stay here? And I don't know what Oregon said, but they apparently—
You'd be the highest paid coach in the Pac-12.
Yes, he would. And they sat there and they went, okay, well, there you go. Have at it. That $5 million a year we were offering you for, we're going to be very competitive with it. And adios, amigo. And his heartstrings pulled him back to Florida, or his pocket strings pulled him back to Florida. And there it is. He's now the coach at Florida State, and Oregon moves on. And a lot of people, Duck fans, are trying to spin it as, hey, this is actually a good thing that he gets to, Oregon gets to reset, and it proves that Oregon can recruit 4- and 5-star guys if you have the right guy and you have the right staff here.
Yeah, and here's the last thing, too.
Back to the drawing board.
I can't ever fault somebody for taking an opportunity right in front of them that's something they've believed or dreamt about their entire lives.
Nope,
dreamed about. I would never, ever tell somebody to stay put and turn down an opportunity of a lifetime.
But I understand Oregon fans feeling jilted.
Of course.
If you're an Oregon fan,
absolutely
jilted. Because you know what? For Oregon fans, that is their dream job.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Oregon is their dream job for Oregon fans. All right. Where do the Ducks go from here? That's our textual relations. 55305. Where do the Ducks go? Who do you want to be the next head coach of the University of Oregon? Here's Crawford of SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305 is Bridgeport Beer's text line. Who should the Oregon Ducks target as their next head coach? Text us 55305. Also, we have got a $50 gift certificate to Red Tail Golf. Red Tail Golf's holiday sale is going on now with up to 50% off your holiday golfing needs. Red Tail Golf guarantees the lowest holiday prices. Check them out at golfredtail.com. Caller number 5 at 503-250-1080. That's 503-250-1080. Caller number 5 gets a $50 gift certificate to Red Tail Golf. golf.
What's that number again?
503.
No, I was going to call.
503.
Oh, I'm not eligible.
250.
Dang it.
1080.
You're not going to beat me.
503.
I'm calling right now.
250-1080. Caller number five gets a $50 gift certificate to Red Tail Golf Center. All right, Ducks, where do you go if you are the University of Oregon right now? Who do you go after and who do you target?
I'm going after Justin Wilcox and Bo Baldwin. That's my issue. That's for me right now, that's what I want to go after. I'm being selfish because I can do that and I'm sitting behind a microphone, but I don't know what a lot of Duck fans want. I would love to see Justin Wilcox, who's a brilliant defensive mind, mm-hmm. and Bo Baldwin, who's a proven offensive coordinator up here that can do the things and dismantled the Ducks years ago mm-hmm. with Eastern. I would want that here. And here's my initial reaction why. In today's day and age, and knowing that the amount of money is out there in college football, the amount of money that Cal is investing in that staff down there is laughable.
It is.
It is a joke. I think Justin's getting just a shade under $1.5 million, mm-hmm. 1.4. That's what Jim Leavitt was being paid here to coordinate at Oregon, who I know in my heart is gone too. And if you want to clamor for Jim Leavitt, fine. But remember in his contract, folks, it says specifically, I can leave for the Kansas State job. He has that built into his contract that he would leave no matter what for the Kansas State job, which is where he wants to go. That's where his heart is. Yep. So why would you want to do that again? That doesn't make any sense to me. If he does want to stay on at coordinator, fine. But my other thing is that you have somebody in within ties that says, Oregon is where I should be. No, I'm not in Justin's mind. I don't know. Okay, I could just speculate and guess. But if you threw enough money and did that, you should at least have a phone call.
Yeah, I do believe that they probably will give a phone call to Justin because of, I mean, he had 1 year at Cal.
Mm-hmm. Turned him around.
It was supposed to be a dumpster fire of a season, but they were competitive in every yep. game, and they kind of
knocked off Washington State.
We'll see, though. Justin doesn't seem like a guy that would cut bait after 1 year.
I know he doesn't.
And
I know.
An $8.7 million buyout
mm-hmm.
At Cal for this year. According to USA Today's coaching database, $8.08 million to buy him out. Mm-hmm. But if you sit there and you say, Justin, we're going to be paying you competitively because he's getting paid $1.6 million a year.
That is chump change for compared to what major college in California, in the Bay Area.
He gets paid less than Kansas's coach.
Yeah.
So take that for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that call probably should be made if you're doing your due diligence, and I think they will. This text, Bridgeport Beers text line, hire Leavitt. He's the real coach this season. Snake Oil Willie is an excellent recruiter, no question, but is a mediocre game coach at best. I know Ducks probably want an offensive coach, but Leavitt is a doggone miracle worker with what he did with that defense. They can find an offensive guy to run the offense. That side of the ball will be fine. Imagine what Jimmy could do with a few more seasons with that defense. What do you think of Jim Leavitt?
I think Jim Leavitt is a fantastic coach. I think mm-hmm. he knows how to coach defense. I think he changed the attitude of the defense here. I think it's great. I think he's leaving.
Yeah.
And I think he's gone.
The reports are from everybody that he's going with Willie Taggart to Florida State. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the one here, Crawford, where Rob Mullins addressed that yesterday. About Jim Leavitt in those reports.
You know, Willie said the only thing that we talked about was that the staff would remain intact till December 16th so that these kids can enjoy the fruits of their labor during the year and be rewarded with a bowl game. And no one has mentioned anything to me about Florida State and Jim.
So.
And why would they?
Yeah, and why would, but why would at that time, you know Jim Leavitt's going to be here till December 16th.
Yeah.
Which Jim Leavitt also tweeted out yesterday, his dream is to become a head coach. So throwing his name into this hat, I mean, what would stop Jim Leavitt from going to Florida State? Becoming the head coach at Oregon. You know, mm-hmm. he wants to become a head coach again. And that is known. And he was a good head coach at South Florida. We do remember that he had them within a game of going to a BCS bowl. Like, I mean, he was... Yeah. They lost to Rich Rod in West Virginia, but they were within a game of doing that. So that's a name there that a lot of people are saying. But don't read into either Mario Cristobal being the interim head coach, because that was just built into his contract when he came over as associate head coach and co-offensive coordinator, that in the event something happened, he would take over as an interim head coach or a stand-in place for Willie Taggart, because of the fact that Jim Leavitt calls the defense and Willie Taggart called the offensive plays. I believe that those duties will probably be handed over to Marcus Arroyo for the bowl game, I'm assuming, is the play calling duties, and Cristobal would be basically the game managing head coach.
Let me answer a couple things. One is, this text says, let's back up the Brinks truck for Chris Peterson, take him out of Washington. You can absolutely go ahead and do that. You have enough money with that opportunity with Phil Knight. In fact, though, his buyout's $30.6 million, plus with escalating up to $39 million. So if you're willing to pay that, plus you're going to have to pay him at least $5 million a year. So you're going to be investing over $70 million in Chris Peterson. Do you think Oregon would do that?
Yeah.
I don't have that answer, and I certainly you can't fault anybody for trying. So there you go. You can start with that. And to sit there and say that it's okay for Willie Taggart to leave Florida State, but why would Justin Wilcox, and it's okay for that? We're not in a game of what's okay anymore in college football. Yeah. We're getting to the moral high ground of what's great for college football. Winning in football is all that matters. You guys, you need to understand that coaches get paid on winning. Players get recruited based on their talent level to help win. If you get that through your head and understand that the loyalty is to the win, the W, it's not to what's best for the programs. Coaches don't believe that. Now, they will tell you that because their job, and what I said on Twitter yesterday, your coaching are CEOs, they're leaders, they're mentors, they're father figures, but they're salesmen.
Yeah.
And when in your life has you ever believed everything out of a salesman's mouth?
Yeah, never.
And you won't, and you shouldn't.
55305. That is the Bridgeport Beers text line. Kevin Sumlin, the name that is coming out a lot right now. We'll talk a little bit about Kevin Sumlin and who Duck fans want as their next head coach. 646 on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, who do you want at Oregon? A lot of people saying Kevin Sumlin, former Texas A&M coach, just finished the circle. Jimbo to A&M.
Circle of life.
Willie to Florida State, and then boom.
Lion King Sumlin and me here? What are we doing?
Oregon. Just finish it out. But here we go with Kevin Sumlin. I asked this to Duck fans, though. Have you seen Texas A&M's defense? Do we know where Texas A&M's defense is ranked in his time as the head coach at A&M? Because in four of his 6 years as the head coach at A&M, Oregon's defense was better in scoring and total defense. Think about that. Mm-hmm. For everybody who's lamented Oregon's defenses, in four of the last 6 years, they have been better than what Texas A&M had in the SEC. In the SEC, no less, with what do we say the biggest criticism of the SEC is? They don't have very good offenses there, right?
Yeah.
This year, they finished 81st in scoring and 59th in yards per game. Oregon better in both. In those 6 years, they finished in the hundreds in total defense and scoring three times. So half the time. 90s or hundreds, or two times in the 100s.
So what you're saying, he doesn't have a history of coordinating great defense.
No, and that's what it comes back to, is that you got to have a head coach who you're only as good as your assistants around you, right? Mm-hmm. And so that would be a cause for concern, is that you sit there and you look at, if the biggest gripe about Oregon has been defense lately, they've been better on defense than A&M.
I need to ask this because I feel like in today's world, when you're talking about the amount of money that's thrown around with college football, does your coach hire have to have some sort of connection to the school, either being have previously coached there, played there, or have a connection to the recruiting ground on the West Coast? Because remember, Oregon, they have a unique opportunity as good as USC or any other team in this conference, is that they can pull kids from across the country. Kevin Sumlin has a Southern connection, Louisville, and then to Texas A&M. That is his connections. So now that's going to be the predominantly, that's going to be where he would be recruiting if you're doing that. But does Oregon need somebody that will have the connection to the West Coast, the Pacific Northwest, to be able to keep your own ties and be able to say, can we keep our guys in our state?
Rob Mullins asked that. Was asked that question yesterday.
We have a whole long list of criteria, and obviously that's a bonus, but that's not where you start because that narrows the pool. We want to have a diverse pool, a broad pool, and we will have that. You know, but if in the end there's someone with ties, you know, that's a bonus, but it's not at the top of the list.
There you go.
Let me make a quick point too, and that's a great point. Right away, let me just go you from the perspective of the Husky brand. When Steve Sarkisian jumped ship and he left, he took his dream job. The initial reaction of the locker room in the meeting was Sark said, I need to feed my family. I'm going to get my new job. The players' reaction had Marcus Tuiasosopo, former Husky offensive or quarterbacks coach. Everyone said, we want Marcus. And then he coached them in the bowl game and they won. Wasn't ready. Be careful when you say stuff like, oh, we want Jim Leavitt. He's got experience. Cristobal. When you hear it from players, you hear it from guys that are they're connecting because it's safe. It's familiar. Sometimes with Mullins and certainly with Phil Knight, they're going to go after the best hire that they understand can lead, not jumping at the first initial reaction that you want, the one that pulls on your purse strings. That's when Chris Peterson showed up to University of Washington. That guy is out there for Oregon. It's going to happen. But the powers that be and understanding that Rob Mullins is a very smart individual along with Phil Knight, they know what they're doing. They're not going to jump on the first initial purse string reaction.
Right.
That's what crap like Tennessee does.
Yeah.
Those ludicrous people out there, they backstab each other. You're not Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You're better than Tennessee.
Yeah. You know what? I actually like Mario Cristobal more than I would Jim Leavitt. And I think both of them are really good coaches. Because
yeah. –
I know that only 2 years Mario Cristobal went to a bowl at Florida International, but have we heard of Florida International besides those two bowl years that Mario Cristobal coached them in? And then he went and was coached at Alabama, regarded as one of the best recruiters in the country. And I think that if you hear the players, that is a guy that plays at Alabama. When he left, they were sad he left. And when he came to Oregon, it was – you actually heard something out of the Alabama locker room that, man, that's a big blow to us in Coach Cristobal leaving. Players really like him. I think I like actually Mario Cristobal as kind of that CEO where could he retain or find a defensive
remember,
coordinator.
Remember, where was he at? Alabama, Birmingham? No, I'm sorry.
No, Florida International.
Florida International. Not the best record, but he did turn them around a little bit.
Well, yeah, it took him to two bowl. That's what I said. He took him to two bowl games, and they've been to one since.
And the experience of working under Nick Saban in Alabama and developing that. But there has to be, I think, the number one thing you need as a coach, in my opinion, is the connection with these kids and the connection with these young men coming into the recruit and to be able, stay with me here, sell them to be a part of Oregon.
Yep.
You have to be able to sell. You got to connect to the parents. You got to connect to the kids. You have to have that. That is A, number one. Yep. Coaching two certainly is B. There's A and then there's B. But that commitment's got to, it's got to fit.
How about this one? Coach wish list rank. James Franklin 1. 2, tied between Wilcox and Cristobal. 4, Sumlin. 5, Leavitt. 6, Mike Gundy. Ooh, Mike Gundy just got a huge extension.
You're not, let's be realistic here.
James Franklin apparently was flirting last year of leaving Penn State, and he's got something humming there, but I don't know if you can back up enough money to get him out of there. But
this gets into the question of what's a better job, Penn State or Oregon?
Right. Well, and then it may be, where do you have the better opportunity to win, Penn State or Oregon?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe not what the more historically prestigious job is, because that's Penn State. But if you can convince James Franklin for whatever reason that you come out west, Pac-12 is more winnable. You don't have to go through Urban and Jim Harbaugh and Scott Frost now.
Now you got to go through Chip Kelly, David Shaw,
Chris Peterson. Right.
It's not any easier.
Exactly.
And Herm Edwards. Come on. Mike Leach. These are nine win teams here. 10 win teams up here. Pac-12 North champions that you got to go through. Oregon now.
I think that the list, though, Brian Harsin's name has come up. I think the list that includes guys like Brian Harsin or Jeff Tedford, I think Oregon's aiming higher, and I think they should aim higher, you know? And that's not to take anything away from Brian Harsin or Jeff Tedford, but I do believe that the Oregon program, you can either go out, you can go out and get a sitting coach, a sitting head coach. That should be the goal, mm-hmm. is to go out and mm-hmm. get a sitting head coach at a Power 5 school. That should be your goal. And then you work your way down to, and it's not very far down the list to get to a Brian Harsin or a Jeff Tedford, but it's working your way down.
Question going in.
Okay.
How attractive nationally is the Oregon Ducks job?
I think it's more attractive now than it was last year at this time. And I'll tell you why. Plus, Rob Mullen's culpability and Willie Taggart leaving. Does the athletic director have any culpability here? Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.